afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Indie Business Radio, where we do your life, your business, your way. I'm your host, Donna Maria, the Chief Executive Indie, and we are here on the first show of the spring of 2007. Today is Monday, April 2nd, and I'm just so excited and delighted that you joined me today. The show today is sponsored by Essential Wholesale, where you can purchase one of the largest selections of natural and organic cosmetic bases in the world. Choose from over 1,000 available formulations, and guess what? There's free shipping now through April 6th. So here's your opportunity to grow your business to the next level if you're in the cosmetics manufacturing business. Visit EssentialWholesale.com today for more details. Well, it is spring, and it is time for all of us to get outside and start participating in some outdoor activities. And one of the most popular and fun outdoor activities is gardening. And to that end, we have got an expert in gardening on the show today. And she's also the author of a wonderful book called Full Bloom, Planting the Seeds for Your Future. Rebecca Lampersky shares through her love of gardening and life stories a process to achieve our goals and enjoy the rewards, looking at the analogy of life and gardening. Rebecca Lampersky, welcome to the show today.
Thank you so much for having me, Donna.
Well, it's wonderful to have you here, and I love to start my shows by sharing a little bit of information about the guest. And you have a really interesting story going back to a time when at one point you lost a chance at a promotion. Tell us a little bit about that and how it impacted your life change at that point.
That's right. I have two small children, now ages 6 and 4, and when they were little, and still really to this day, I was working full-time, working very hard towards a promotion at work, really to run the market that I work in. And 2 years ago, I had the opportunity to get that promotion, and I did not get it. It was really what I considered a defining moment for me, and sort of what I say, a whack upside the head, mm-hmm. where I was so upset, and I actually was not upset that I did not get the job. Mm-hmm. I was upset and really disappointed in myself in the priorities that I was making in my life, because I really was putting the job first mm-hmm. and my family second, and mm-hmm. it hit me like a ton of bricks. Why am I doing this? Why did I even want this promotion? Where am I going? What am I doing? What priority, you know, what direction is my life going in? And it was really the start of this book that I wrote called Full Bloom, Planting the Seeds for Your Future, because we don't all have the ability to change our life in a second, mm-hmm. but if we can plant the seeds over time, we can slowly but surely have that life in full bloom, that life that we really want.
So, Rebecca, what did you do? You did not get the promotion.
No.
And what sorts of steps did you take that you would say led you to being in your own business?
Well, first of all, I did a lot of introspection on what did I want. And, you know, they always say go back to your childhood. What did you like then? And I really couldn't find anything. That really wasn't helping me. But I did remember a conversation that I had with my husband, he was my boyfriend at the time, 9 or 10 years ago. I said to him, I want to be a motivational speaker and an author, and I want to write a book. And I always had this in my mind that I wanted to write a book. And, of course, 10 years had flown by with having a high-powered job and small children and getting married and just having life just take you where it was taking you versus me really deciding where I wanted to go. And I decided to slow it down and write my book and start working on my public speaking skills and start planting those seeds for that life that I wanted in the future.
So this took place before you had children or after?
My defining moment took place after I had children, but the discussion I had with my husband was 5 years before I had children. I said to him, I want to be a motivational speaker. Mm-hmm. And the interesting thing is I had this dream in my heart, yet did I ever join Toastmasters? No. Did I take a job that would be a speaking job, that I would be speaking and training all day long? No. So I really didn't take the steps necessary. I just sort of went where life took me. And I feel at times ungrateful for my success, because most people would say, wow, she has a great job, she earns great money, but it wasn't what I wanted out of life.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't my dream.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because, and I'd like to spend just a few minutes on that. We are going to get to the gardening, but I think this is key, because so many people, everyone has dreams. And so many times we have these dreams, and as you said, it's a dream, it sounds good, it would be wonderful. It's a great dream to have, and it would be wonderful if it could come to fruition. But what you just said was what so many people experience, wouldn't you say, which is where you have a dream and then you just dream.
Yes. And in some regards, a dream is fine if you want to visit the pyramids of Egypt someday. You know, those kinds of dreams or aspirations. But when it really has to do with how you're living your life every single day, and, you know, really our career and our work is such a large part of our day and our life, it impacts mm-hmm. us greatly. That's why I think that if you have a dream, you need to find a way to be living that dream in your career.
Yeah, and one of the things your book says, and so many indies can identify with this, it says, my achievements were outstanding. This is speaking about your
yes.
profession, your full-time job. My achievements were outstanding, but they weren't the right ones. I never meant to achieve them. Don't get me wrong, I worked hard to get them, but they were the unintentional result of my hard work.
Yes. I am a worker.
Yeah, and that's so key. I think so many people today would feel that way. You get a job, you have a list of responsibilities, and you do them. And
exactly. And then you get a promotional opportunity, and you take it. And you get the next one, and you take it. And the next thing you know, you're moving up. And then guess what? You do what I did. You go for that next promotion. And for me, I didn't get it. And that's what made me think, what the heck am I doing? Why am I even having so much invested in this promotion when I never really wanted the other ones that I got, in a way. Does that make sense?
It sounds like not getting that promotion helped you be able to focus your life in a different and more acceptable way for you and your family.
It's about I go away from the whole thing, I want to be happy. I want to be satisfied. You know, I think it's about satisfaction versus happiness. It's sort of, you know, I'm more satisfied now because I feel that I am working towards my future and my dream.
So where does gardening come in?
Where gardening comes in is I actually went on a women's retreat, and they did different exercises with us, but it was a really good timely thing because it was about a month after I did not get this promotion. I really needed to get away and think things through. Mm-hmm. And I had really had some great thoughts while I was there, and the instructor asked us to go outside and just think about what we had learned during this retreat and try to think of something that would symbolize what we had learned. And I was looking around, and there were white tulips everywhere. It was spring. They had just popped up out of the ground and were blooming. And it hit me, and I was like, you know, that's it. I want to be planting something that comes back every year
mm-hmm.
and that multiplies.
Right.
And I felt that with having this really intense job and having two small children, I was really just treading water for 5 years, and I wasn't really able to plant anything in my life that was getting me someplace different, and therefore mm-hmm. that's why I was staying on this track as well. It was easier just to stay on this track, even though it was taking me in the wrong direction, than it would be to plant and do something else. And I had this thought of the white tulips, and it really grew from there. I really said, you know, that's like a perennial. And in my book, I talk about perennials and annuals and trees, and it grew from there in that I looked around in my surroundings, and I thought, wow, I want my life to be in full bloom. And it's mm-hmm. how I came up with the name of my business, which is Full Bloom PPC, which is personal and professional connection. And the analogy just grew from there.
And
from
it is easier to stay where you are. It's easier,
yes.
isn't it? It's so much
it
easier
is.
Because you don't have to do anything different. You don't have to take any risks.
It's easier, but it's not as satisfying. And I've found in my life, and I'm, you know, only 37 or 38 years old now, but I've found this is my new concept, is that when I was in my teenager years, I thought I knew everything, right? We think we can't learn anything from anybody. In my 20s, I felt like I had learned things. Oh, I had some life lessons and I had learned things. Now in my late 30s, I'm just waiting for the next lesson. And I realize that when a lesson comes along and it's something to learn from, so and a lot of times the lessons come through difficult times, mm-hmm. and sometimes those difficult times are self-imposed because you're in a situation that you need to get yourself out of, whether it be a relationship or a job or whatever, and it's going to take effort to get out of that comfort zone to do this different thing. But every single time you take that little bit of a risk, it pays off 10 times. If it's based on sound values and mm-hmm. and ethics and things like that.
Right, right. And I want to spend some time talking about gardening, too. And
good.
Before we go there, I want to ask you this, because I am not a gardener, although my 5-year-old daughter seems to be determined this spring to turn me into one.
Excellent.
So I'd love to have, like, an off-the-radio show conversation about where do I start. But let's stick to the subject for now, Rebecca. And let me just ask you this. Can someone who is not a gardener and not familiar with gardening terms and gardening, can they use this book? Can they use the information that you share?
Absolutely. The gardening concepts in this book are actually very basic. I'm actually not an expert gardener. I'm your middle of the road gardener. I pretty much will plant anything that I can get my hands on in my garden, and I just love toiling around out there digging, and it's just very satisfying to me. And this is the best time of year. I used to actually like fall the best out of the year, but as I've gotten more into gardening, spring really becomes my favorite time of the year because everything is starting to come up out of the ground, and it's like, wow, I can't wait to see what it looks like this year because it'll have multiplied or gotten bigger, or it's something new that I've planted. So even if you're not a gardener, if you just even look around your surroundings, this is really pretty basic to just driving down the road and seeing people mowing their lawns and seeing the daffodils coming out this time of year. So it's basic analogies here in this book.
We're talking to Rebecca Lampersky today, author of Full Bloom, Planting the Seeds for Your Future. Do join us at 800-773-0355. All callers who call in with their questions or comments will be entered to win the Indie Gift of the Month, which is the Positively Pampered Lavender Gift Set from Deal Farm Soap Company in Massachusetts. Now, Rebecca, let's take me step by step through one of your analogies. Let's just say, again, I'm not an avid gardener.
Okay.
Actually, since you say it doesn't matter, let's just say I'm a person who wants to make a change in my life. Let's just say, for example, I have a dream of starting my business.
Right.
I have a full-time job. I have a dream of starting my business. How can we use a gardening analogy, which one would you recommend that we get our feet wet with? Tell us a little bit about that.
The first one I would suggest is the analogy between an annual and a perennial. Because most people say to me, where do you find the time to start this? Where did you find the time to write this book? Where did you find the time? And we all know we cannot create more time. That would be a book in and of itself that would be a bestseller. But what we can do is utilize our time well as we can create more energy. So what the difference between an annual and perennial is really analyzing what are you planting in your life that's like an annual. Annuals don't come back from year to year.
Give us some examples of annuals.
An annual would be really this time of year, if you're driving down the road and you see a big greenhouse, and it is filled with those flats of colorful yellow, red, purple, you name it, every color of flower there is known to man. Those are all annuals. Those are, I'm trying to think of, like,
tulips? I don't know. What are some flowers that, if we go to the gardening center today, what are some flowers that are annuals?
For example, marigolds. Are annuals. If you plant marigolds this year, they will not come back next year. Mm-hmm. So that's a good example of an annual. And
okay, so let's say we want to start with that. What do we do? Well, how do we incorporate that into starting a business of our own?
In starting a business of your own, what you have
actually,
to identify...
I do want to ask that question, Rebecca, but I'm being told that I have to take a break.
Oh, okay.
So this is a really good time, too, because we'll have an opportunity to let people think about some of their questions and call them in. And the toll-free number to call in your question or comment for Rebecca Lampersky is 800-773-0355. This is Indie Business Radio. Don't touch that mouse. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here this afternoon talking with Rebecca Lampersky, author of Full Bloom, Planting the Seeds for Your Future. And before we took our break, Rebecca was starting to walk us through the steps that we would want to take using a gardening analogy to go from full-time employment to starting our own business. So, Rebecca, take us there, starting with your talk about using annuals to do that.
Sure. Well, the first thing someone wants to do is really just write down, and it can be very, very simple, a statement for themselves that says, this is what I want. I want to start this kind of business with this kind of time frame. So let's say I want to, since we're talking flowers here, I want to start a gardening or a florist shop within 2 years. And you want to be very specific on what your time frame is. And then looking at annuals and perennials, if this is your goal and this is really, really important to you, you need to survey what you're doing every day and every week. And I actually suggest in my book that you create a little journal and you actually journal the different things you do for a one-week period. And you look at those things and you say, these things that I'm doing do not support my goal. They're nice to do things. They're great to do things, but they really don't support my goal. They're annuals. An example of that might be, like for me, is TV watching. So I certainly don't want the fact that I am addicted to American Idol keep me from achieving my goals in my business. So I have had to cut back on some of these things, and you don't really realize how much time you spend in these short-term time wasters almost until you really start to track them. For me, at work was also, well, why am I working so many hours? Why can't I get this job done in the work time hours? And really, it was meetings that were not being run effectively. It was last-minute requests that were coming to me at the very end of the day. And so I set some goals for myself at work on how I was going to run meetings, and if someone were to come to me right before the end of the day, how to decide whether this is something that can wait till tomorrow or something that has to be dealt with right now. And there isn't much that really has to be dealt with right then.
So, Rebecca, you're saying the first step is to write down on a piece of paper the things that you're doing on a daily basis that do not contribute to your goal.
Yes.
And you're not saying the first step is change your behavior. It's find out what it is. Is that what you're saying?
Find out what it is.
Okay, so see what you're doing, and then say the end of the week you've watched all the reruns of American Idol on all the cable TV shows, and it adds up to a certain number of hours, which will probably surprise many people if they're mm-hmm. doing this, whatever their thing that they're doing is. What do you do next?
The next thing you do is you decide which of those can go.
Okay.
And at the same time, the analogy of a perennial, at the same time, you need to have identified, these are the things I need to be doing. So for me, I needed to join Toastmasters. I knew that I could do Toastmasters, just going to Toastmasters, 2 lunchtimes a month.
So the annuals are the things that you do that aren't contributing to your goal, and the perennials are the things that you're doing that are?
That are.
Okay. All
yes,
right, got
the annuals are short-term activities that have no long-term impact.
Okay. Forensic files. That's my annual.
Yes. And perennials are things that are activities that have long-term impact towards your goal.
Got it.
And you need
okay.
to swap the two. We'll never get rid of all the annuals. I mean, annuals add really nice color to your garden.
Yeah, and I think that's a really good point to mention, mm-hmm. too, that you don't ever, you never watch American Idol again, right?
No, that's a pleasure, you know, that's fun. But decide what's really the basic minimum of those things that you need to do to feel satisfied or to be making progress. So this
okay,
is a constant thing.
You have to kind of play around with what it is that feels comfortable and satisfying to you.
Yes, because I've had some people say to me, well, I don't want to figure out a way to do more. And this is not a process to do more. And how am I going to jam more into my day? This is a prioritization process of how to do the right things
mm-hmm.
for you. And in a way, you have to start saying no. It makes it a little easier to say no when you've really looked at it and said, this isn't going to get me there.
Right.
And it's
right.
a lot easier to find time for the things that are going to get you there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, this is really helpful.
Yeah.
So you've got your annuals,
the
and
perennials.
You want to cut them back, pare them down to the bare minimum.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got your perennials, which you can basically replace some of the annual time with the perennial time.
That's right. And what's great about the perennials time is it's amazing when you're doing the things that are in line with your goals. It's like the synergy happens, and they start compounding. And the next thing you know, you're meeting the right people to help mm-hmm. you for their goal. Because guess what? When you go and join an organization or you go and do an activity that is in line with your goal, you're meeting other people that have that same goal. And the next thing you know, you're networking. And mm-hmm. that's really the next chapter is about trees.
Yeah,
in
let's
your garden.
Talk about trees and shrubs.
Yes. Trees, in early 2000. Or late 2005, December of 2005, I lost my father.
Hmm.
He passed away, and he had always wanted to write a book. Matter of fact, he had recorded many stories and content for this book that he was going to write. And it jump-started me into saying, okay, this is just another sign that, you know, I had been telling people, I'd started actually a survey to start writing my book, and shortly within 45 days of him passing away, I sat down on a Saturday and started writing because I just thought now's the time. And the tree analogy, you know, my dad was a central tree in my garden. I don't know if you've ever witnessed a really bad thunderstorm or a really bad storm of some sort that takes out a big tree out of someone's yard, and the next morning the whole neighborhood's just like, oh my, that house looks totally different now.
Right.
Everything's changed because that tree is gone.
Right.
And that's really what my father was in my life, is that it's like the adjustment, your whole garden of life is adjusting to mm-hmm. that tree not being there. And I see trees as something, too. It's a very long-term decision to plant a tree in your garden. You've got to really make a decision. What kind of roots does this tree grow, because it could impact my sidewalks or my driveway? What kind of droppings does this tree have, because it could get on my car, and Mm-hmm. You've got to really think about the kind of tree, how big does it grow. You've got to think about these things more so than just planting some lilies in the ground. When you plant a tree, it's a big decision. And I think it's a really big decision, the relationships that we make in our life, who our significant other is and how that's going to impact our long-term goals.
Mm-hmm.
I always say the only trees we sort of don't get to choose is our children. You know, we create these little trees, and they come out, you think they're going to come out just like you, but they actually come out, you know, completely different. They're like a totally different species of tree, and you're like, how did I, you know, I'm a pretty logical person and make logical kind of decisions, and my oldest is a walking Care Bear. She's this loving child that's in the clouds, and, you know, not that I'm not loving, but she, like, is going to be a nurse, or she's going to be taking care of people someday because she's just that loving. And with trees, we can, number one, we can plant trees. We need a support group. We need a support system in our life
to
achieve our goals.
Right.
We also can choose, obviously, who our spouse or significant other is. So we need to choose that tree very, very carefully. And we also need to decide when a tree needs to go. So I talk a little bit in, you know, just briefly in my book about the decision to cut down a tree. It's a very emotional one.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that for a second. Let's say you have decided what your goals are, or let's even just one goal. You want to write a book, for example, which is goal enough.
Right.
Because that's a lot of work. So let's just say you've identified something, you've done your analysis of what needs to be pared back in terms of your time and what perennial things you can replace it with. And then you look around you, and let's just say you are in a bad relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Which, of course, you know, people change, times change, and relationships change. So what do you suggest that someone in that kind of position do?
The first thing is to write down, I have an exercise in my book about the, identify five people who have a large role in your life and evaluate your relationship. So here's these five people. What is their role or their impact on your life?
Whether positive or negative,
whether
right?
positive or negative.
Okay.
And is there a change needed? And if so, by when?
Okay, and it could be a change that increases or a change that decreases their role.
Yes, because I actually had both. You know, through this period, I was so busy that I did not have a real good support system, and I wasn't keeping in touch with a particular friend as well as my family like I wanted to. So I actually set a goal for myself that here's these five people, and I want to talk to them every month. And I have a little tracker, and I put a little check mark, have I talked to them yet this month? And I make sure that every month I'm in contact with those people to keep that connection strong.
Okay.
And
so there's some trees in your life.
Yes, there's trees.
What did you do? You don't have to share details or names, but what did you do for the trees that had to go?
I, in particular, had in my life a couple friends that I realized I need to distance myself from this person. And
that's so hard to do.
It's very hard to do, and you can do it a couple different ways. You can do it very drastically and actually tell them, but I find that that's maybe not the best thing. The best thing is just, to me, is to be busy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, you know, let them go gracefully,
mm-hmm.
but if you've made the determination, you got to be strong with it, that this person is not a positive impact on you. You can't blame them. They're who they are. You're who you are. Let them be and just slowly back out. Don't let them have as much impact as they do, and just don't give them the time that you do. It's
right.
It's a little...
Right. You really have to be determined in that decision.
Yes. And I find that, you know, once you make that conscious decision, which a lot of us aren't thinking in that way, but once you are making that conscious decision, wow, this person's holding me back. I'm allowing this person to hold me back. You either need to find a way to not allow them to hold you back, or you do need to get distance between you and them. If you can't find a way to have them impact you less negatively, then you need to remove them.
Yeah.
And I actually read a book that helped me with this too, called How Perfect Do We Have to Be? I can't remember who the author was, but it really helped base it, I think the guy who wrote it actually was a rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of what you're, you know, and I'm not of that religion,
mm-hmm.
but it doesn't really matter what your religion is. You can sort of relate to what he was saying in this book, which is really, why do these people have to be so perfect?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Back yourself out.
Right.
If it's not right for you, it's not right for you. Let them be who they want to be, and if they're not a positive impact, back off. And it really helped me actually with my father, because my father and I, when I was growing up, had a tough relationship,
mm-hmm.
and it really allowed me to say, well, is my father supposed to be perfect?
Mm-hmm.
No, he's not supposed to be perfect, and so I could forgive him for not being perfect and sort of minimize my involvement so that he wouldn't disappoint me as much.
Right.
And lo and behold, it opened up a whole new realm for he and I, where...
You're the one who had to do the changing.
I had to do the changing, and it improved our relationship, and, you know, and then he got sick, and by the time he passed away, mm-hmm. all of that was gone. All of that was better. You know, I had mm-hmm. actually lived my life never telling my father that I loved him until mm-hmm. 3 years before he passed away.
Oh, well,
and,
it's so great that you got an opportunity to do that. And
exactly.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
So we talked about annuals, perennials, and trees. And when we come back from our next break, Rebecca, we're going to talk about shrubs, and then we're going to talk about maintaining and weeding so that you can keep up the good work that you've started.
Exactly.
This is Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Everyone, welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're here talking with Rebecca Lampersky, author of Full Bloom, Planting the Seeds for Your Future. And she's sharing with us some really great gardening analogies, comparing our lives to types of plants that we can plant in our lives and in our gardens. And some of those analogies are pretty powerful. If you have any questions or comments, feel free to call in 800-773-0355. If you do, you'll be entered to win our Indie Gift of the Month, a positively pampered lavender gift set from a member of the Indie Beauty Network. So, Rebecca, we've gone through annuals, perennials, and trees. Now, let's talk for a second about shrubs and then move on to how we can get this kind of, once we get started, how do we maintain this? So let's talk about shrubs first.
Sure. This is the last thing in my book that you plant in your garden. Shrubs, if anyone has planted bushes or shrubs, they provide a lot of shape and structure to your garden over time, and there's great fill. You know, you can plant around, color around them, and then you have the bushes and the shrubs. But when you plant them, they're like these little things, and then before you know it, there are these huge bushes, and you have to cut them back. You have to continuously cut them back. And this is classic for me in my life. I will plant something in my garden, and it's usually a commitment to an organization. It's joining a club, it's, you know, being involved in the PTA or anything like that, and next thing I know, I'm running it, and I am, like, way over-involved.
You just can't stop yourself.
I can't stop myself. I always say that I want to just quit my job and become the checkout girl at the supermarket. Mm-hmm. But then the next thing I would know, I'd be like in charge of all the checkout girls, and then I would be like the person in front of the in the front, and then I'd be like the regional checkout person. You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I can't help it. I just sort of take on. And these organizations need us, and these clubs need us, and it's not their fault when they find somebody who's enthusiastic and who is dependable. They ask for more and more and more. And but the thing is, we're trying to achieve a goal here, and we're trying to have time to move in a certain direction. And if the organization you determine isn't really in alignment with that goal, and that mm-hmm. can change over time, you have to prune it back. You have to get out those clippers, and you have mm-hmm. to cut back that bush. And mm-hmm. one of the things you have to determine in your life before you really can make progress is, what are the different commitments? These are really commitments that you've made. What is your role? What is the required time commitment? And then, should you maintain this commitment? Should you grow this commitment? Or should you prune this commitment? And okay. so really, just really taking...
Right, and growing it would be the watering part.
Right. Growing it would be getting more involved. You're like, you know what, mm-hmm. I joined this organization. I haven't had a lot of time, but you know what, that's the organization that's really in alignment with my goal.
Mm-hmm.
I need to prune these over here, or even
okay.
take out a bush, you know,
right.
and spend more time over here. So it's really looking at, here's all these commitments I've made.
Uh-huh.
And we all know, particularly with children,
yeah.
that it's, you know, whether it's, it's a simple thing as a bake sale. Oh, yeah, I'll bake something. Well, what, we find ourselves up at 2 o'clock in the morning baking those brownies because we overcommitted ourselves. And so it's knowing, you know what, I need my commitments to be in the right spot.
Right, or better to just buy the brownies baked already.
Just buy them. Exactly.
Buy cookies or something. It's funny, I have a trunk full of plastic Easter eggs and non-chocolate candy that I have to put together. Speaking of which, it brings me to a question that I know a lot of indies out there have, particularly because a lot of my listeners are parents of small children who are also running businesses. Where do you put, I mean, obviously they're on the list. They're all over the list.
Yes.
Both in terms of pruning and weeding and growing. So how do you incorporate that? Or that's my first question. And I do want to ask a second one, which is, for someone sort of getting started on this, what would you say is a good thing for them to do? Take a weekend retreat or an afternoon retreat away from it all and do this for the first time?
Yes, I'll answer the second question first.
Okay.
I do think that if you can afford 2 or 3 days away, or even just a day away, you'd just be shocked at how clear your mind gets.
Mm-hmm.
I took a week off last spring to finish up my book.
Okay.
And
you left your house and everything.
I left I stayed there at night.
Okay.
But I left there every day. And honestly just went with my laptop to Panera.
Okay.
You know, because I could not be home. There's dishes there, there's laundry there, there's stuff there to be done. I had to leave.
Mm-hmm.
And the amount of work I got done in that week was unbelievable on my book. But also, it was funny, by the middle of the week, a lot of other things became clear to me.
Mm.
For example, I talk about in my book that for me, my weight is an issue.
Mm-hmm.
I gain weight, I lose weight, I gain weight, I lose weight. And, you know, I had not taken off the last 10, 15 pounds after I had had my girls. And really, when I took that week off last spring, by the middle of the week, it really became clear to me, you know, you got to do something about this again.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I was so busy and so involved in everything that I couldn't really feel that, you know what, your energy is not high,
mm-hmm.
you're tired, you need a solution to this, and it really comes down to, you've gained this weight back again.
Mm-hmm.
So that's actually part of the next section about weed it, feed it, and water it,
mm-hmm.
is about identifying the things that are holding you back. But your first question was about how do I incorporate my girls? Mm-hmm. And I really try to, I think Stephen Covey tells you to do this, combine activities. Try to find things that serve two different purposes.
Right, right.
My first purpose is to be with my girls. So
right.
I do very little outside of work hours or on weekends that I can't bring my girls with me.
Mm-hmm.
So if my girls can't go, I have a few things I do, but if my girls can't go, I tend to shy away from it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I've found that people understand if I'm going to be there, my girls are going to be there. You know, so
right.
I think that I try to prioritize and find things that I can combine priorities with, and then I also just look at my week and I try to say to myself, okay, one activity that they can't come to me, and if it gets to be more than that, I start saying, no, I really can't. So I've said mm-hmm. no to way more things
mm-hmm.
so that I'm not
combining activities is key. It sounds like combining
yes.
activities with your, and not just girls, too, since you're married, you know, spouses have
yes.
to be included in all of this as well. So to the extent you can combine different things, then you're killing two birds with one stone, and that's helpful.
Yes, and I found this is also something I've just been thinking about the last month or so, is that 100 years ago, every family had their business.
Mm-hmm. That's so true.
And the Lamperskys in Pittsburgh, which is where we live, we had a butcher shop in the Bloomfield area of Pittsburgh, and it was one of the big butcher shops in the area, and probably there was friends of the family that were bakers and candlestick makers, you know, and I feel like we're going back to that community where
mm-hmm.
every family, not everyone can't necessarily quit their full-time jobs yet, but what we're working towards is back into that community where every house down the row sells something or is involved in something. And it's about us networking with each other and figuring out, well, you know what, if you buy that from my family, then I buy that from your family, and I help you find this. And I'm finding that as I've got my own business now, I'm really networking in this circle of women who are all trying to balance life better and doing this by starting their own businesses. And I'm referring people to them, they're referring people to me, and it's back to this community of, this is our family business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's quite wonderful. It's really a neat feeling.
It really is. I love it. I actually, my newsletter this morning actually talks about that a little bit. And it is wonderful to be seeing that. So, Rebecca, when you're starting out in this, how often would you say these kinds of retreats need to be taken in order to, and I know everyone's different, just a guideline.
I would say you once a month you need to take 1 hour, and that could be just all you really need, is 1 hour away from it all to write down everything that you've accomplished towards your goal.
Mm-hmm.
And that is actually the one chapter of my book is called Water It. So we've planted all these things in our garden,
right.
but how do we maintain them?
Mm-hmm.
We've planted annuals. We've planted some trees. We've planted some bushes, or we've pruned back some bushes. But we all know we have to maintain our gardens. And one of the things you have to do is water it. And I see water as a refreshment.
Mm-hmm.
You constantly have to be making sure that you're refreshing your garden and watering it. And to me, that is making sure that you're on the right track, that you're looking to see what you've accomplished and what you haven't accomplished. And I myself had a personal coach for a year and a half that I would meet with monthly. And what I would do is I would go and I would meet with her and I would come with my list. Here's the things that I did this month. And I felt accountable. I wouldn't want something to be on my list that I hadn't accomplished. But I wrote everything down, even to, oh, I met this person, and they're going to be crucial for me because of this.
Mm-hmm.
And what it enabled me to do is, number one, see my progress, even though it might have been small baby steps. I had to see that I was making progress. It made me feel satisfied. And number two, it made it clear where I needed to go for the next month.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't need a necessarily a personal coach to do that. I think that if you can, again, tap into your support system and maybe have a buddy, you know, find another person who is looking to also achieve goals and just conference with, call with them once a month. It's sort of like why Weight Watchers works. You have to go get on the scale once a week. And you have to be accountable to somebody.
Right.
Share your goal with somebody and ask if they would talk to you once a month about what you've achieved and where you're going to go next. And that really will continuously water your garden and make it, it's like you have Miracle Grow in that water, and it's just making your garden grow like crazy. So, right. But I would say at least twice a year, semi-annually, take at least a day or two to regroup. I'm about due right now.
Yeah.
And you can feel it. You can feel it.
Yeah, I know what you mean, and it's funny. Taking those kinds of retreats, it's such a battle if you already have a business to do it because, number one, you kind of don't want to be too far away from the business for too long. But number two, it's hard not to take that one little work-related project that you have to get done with you on your retreat.
I know.
But you're right. It sort of brings us full circle to something that you said at the beginning, which is it really is a decision that you have to make that you want your life to change.
Right.
So how committed are you? Let's find out. We should get a copy of Full Bloom, Planting the Seeds for Your Future by Rebecca Lampersky. It's published by Trafford Publishing. You can go to trafford.com and click on the author link to find out a little bit more about the book and where you can buy it. You can also visit indiebeauty.com and click on the newsletter for today's newsletter, and you can buy a copy there. Rebecca, thank you so much for sharing your insights. I love this this analogy that you've come up with, and I'm sure it'll be helpful to a lot of people.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Great to have you. Hey, you guys, I've got some great shows coming up here over the next several weeks. Next week is the Monday before tax time. So guess what? Next week we are going to have a tax preparer, actually a certified public accountant, who is going to be here to share some tips on how to get ready for tax time and how to make everything click at the last minute. I can't wait for that one. And then after that, that's going to be April the 9th, by the way. And then on April 23rd, we've got Capitalizing on Being Woman-Owned. We have an author who's going to talk about that. Most of you out there, I know, are woman business owners. How can we capitalize on that? Our guest on April 23rd will be here to talk about that. On April 30th, author and publicist Christine Holbaum will be here to share some tips on how to be the best spokesperson for your business, how to clearly deliver your message precisely and effectively. And you all know how important that is. I'm so excited that you joined us. Please visit indiebeauty.com and click on the radio link, and you can enjoy downloads and audio streams for free of all of my 2007 Indie Business Radio shows. I hope you go there and have a look around and find something that can help you do your business, your life, your way. I'll see you next week. Until then, this is Donna Maria signing off. Have a great week, guys.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.